He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
And I want to start off today's show by reading a headline on an article which we, Jay and I and you, can discuss for a few minutes in this show. And the headline is this: the customer is always king, but you aren't the customer. And that takes me back to the year 1968-69, when I had earned enough money to pay for half of my first car that my father was going to pay the other half for. And what did I want?
Some Ford Bronco.
Have listened. Yes, a Ford Bronco. And I went to the Ford dealer, and this was before Christmas, and I wanted to have it by Christmas. And I went in and looked at the order book and ordered it just the way I wanted, with the options I wanted, this and that kind of thing. And so the order got put in, and something like 6 to 12 weeks later, I don't remember the time, it didn't matter, except I probably drove over to the dealership every day from 6 weeks forward to see if a truck had come in. And lo and behold, when it did come in, it came in just the color I ordered, the options I ordered, and that was the way it was back then, when you ordered cars the way you wanted them, and the dealer was willing to put the dealer was willing to put the order in. Yeah, you can tell your story too, and it came in, and back in those days, they came in under wrap, because that's the way they delivered them. And when I went to pick up the car, it was in the showroom. It had a big red ribbon on it, and it was my car. It wasn't a dealer's lot car that they had convinced me to buy because they didn't want me to leave the dealership before they had a contract.
So who's the customer in this headline?
The customer is the dealer.
That's okay.
And that's the gist of the article, because and the interesting things about this article to me were that the dealers order cars by bulk lots. Actually, they get offered a bunch of cars, and they can get cars that they're incentivized to buy a bunch of cars. They probably get a bigger discount on buying a bunch of cars,
and so they buy them
without necessarily regard to the color combinations. As this article says, they get them in black, white, silver, and maybe red. But other colors you don't see. And I have been driving through the Jeep dealer in Tarrington for the last several weeks, and they have nothing but black, silver, and white Jeeps.
You have a red one and a white one. You don't need a black one.
Right. I found a red one at a dealership, and I found a white one at a dealership. But the point is, you go in, and you try to go in and go to the showroom and talk to a salesperson. They say they can find almost anything you want. Jill's going to add to this story, I think. And will they get you what you exactly want?
Yeah.
Highly likely not. Jill?
And this goes back, some decades, which is my favorite type of story. And it was my friend. And I excitedly went in and I too ordered my car.
You thought.
And I was very specific about the color that I wanted. And I went to pick it up, and it was not that color. And I said, "It's not that color." And they said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "No, it isn't. Well, this is what we have. This is your car."
There we go.
So
this is what's going on in the car industry today, which is why people can't just go and easily order a car. They could if they really want to wait 12 weeks. Yes, you can tell. Jay, let's have your story. Part three.
I did order my first new car, spec'd it the way I wanted it. And that was back in Europe, 25, 30,
oh, so right around,
years ago.
Right around the same time though that I ordered the one that I thought I was
going
to.
And I will tell you that to this day, that is still the
way it goes
model,
in Europe.
The sales model in Europe. It is very different from what we see here. There's dealers, even dealers who have large volumes of sales, do not stock inventories the way they do here. And the thing is, in our market, we know that cars sit on lots for 80 or 90 days, so dealers have you know, huge amounts of cars just sitting on oftentimes grass and just rusting away, and somebody's paying finance charges on that. And it just, I think, in this day and age, it makes absolutely no sense. If we can order everything else and have it spec built and shipped within days, there's no reason that we can't do that in the car industry.
Quick question. Money-wise, do they have the same debt level, same loan debt arrangement?
In Europe, you mean?
I don't think it's quite as
dire
as here, but yes, to some extent. But right. I remember, you know, years ago, it was known, decades ago in Europe, if you wanted a Mercedes, for instance, it took, you know, 3, 4, 6, or 8 months to order your car. Now, what you were doing is ordering a build spot in the line.
Right.
And then 3 to 4 weeks before the car was actually built, you could go to the dealer and change the options or, you know, specify the color. So all you were doing is reserving a build spot in the production line. Yeah, and Robin, you're right. It's totally different here. Cars are sitting on lots. The dealers are the customers, and then they're just pushing it down.
Well, the interesting thing is, there was an ad on a TV show, or maybe a sports program I saw, and again, it was a fine print thing. I actually froze the picture.
And you got your magnifying glass?
I got my magnifying glass. I went up to my screen, and it was a 43-inch screen, so it was a pretty big screen, but you still couldn't read it from the sofa, the fine print. And it was a ad for a sale, a special pricing on, I think it was an FCA, Ford Chrysler, Fiat Chrysler.
They're still in business.
Yeah.
For now.
Vehicle line. And the small print said, this offer is good for deals for cars that have been in the dealer stock the longest between such and such a date and such and such a date. It wasn't – so if something had come in on the truck yesterday and it happened to be what they were advertising as available for 18% below sticker or whatever it is.
Remember, a couple of months ago, they were still advertising 2017 new cars.
Well, they are – and they are still – something came across my phone saying there are 2018 cars left on dealer lots somewhere in America or the world, and they are probably available. Well, I had some of that when I bought my 2013 Sonata Hybrid in 2015 because it hadn't been sold during two model years of its from 2013 or 12 when it might have showed up on the lot till I found out the dealer still had it sitting there.
It had
maybe 80 miles on it. But it had not been titled. It had not been.
And when was it built? If you look at the VIN,
it was built in 2012. Yeah. It was built in 2012. Well, the hybrids all come from Korea. You know, Sonatas are built in the U.S., but not the hybrids. They all come from Korea. So.
But the bottom line is that this is the same model that the student debt is built on. It's just like this is. It seems like, all right, you're going to go into debt to get your vehicle that you are told you have to have, basically. And I mean, unless you are,
well, unless you're resistant to what you have to have is what you want, but that's very few. I don't think Americans are particularly patient these days. First of all, when you have the sales things coming across, they have a deadline by which you've got to take delivery of your car, and usually it's within 2 weeks of the sales program that shows up on the TV. It's usually the end of the month. Like by October 31st or November 1st.
That's always.
And so you don't have the chance to necessarily go find the exact car, color, materials, and options you might want to get this so-called spectacular offer that's on the radio waves, on the TV waves.
I would be so interested just to compare the huge lots in the Bronx, for example, pick a place in the middle of the country with huge lots in
Let's talk about Ingersoll Chevrolet on the way down to New York. On
22. Did you go in there? Did you figure out whether they were moving the cars?
Well, they've got lots. They've got on either side of the building. They've got probably two 4-acre lots lined up with an assortment of SUVs, over 100 pickup trucks, and none of them are new. Talk about old stock. It's getting old by the week as nothing new is coming off GM's assembly lines, and it has not gone down materially, but there are holes in it, so they have been moving some of the stock, and Jay is going to bring that up now because he did a little research on car sales, And he was expecting to see one thing and found out that GM sales, while they're still on strike, I don't know what the sales period was for. It might have been for October or September, I mean.
I jotted down numbers about a week ago, the September sales reports. And the first numbers, I mean, unless I misread at that point, a lot of the car manufacturers were down. Most of them except for BMW and Mercedes, I think. Car sales were down, and sometimes in big numbers. And at the time, so this was 2 weeks ago, GM sales were reported to be down about 10%. Well, turns out they're up 6% at the end of September relative to the first three quarters of 2018. No, actually, what is it? Third quarter 2019 is up 6% versus third quarter of 2018.
So they're selling into their stock, basically. Is that what you're saying?
No, because the third quarter ended in September.
The strike hadn't started. Pre-strike.
Okay.
So they actually were on a roll, but not so much anymore. I mean, they are still on strike, and that there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. So,
There's a large stock, if you were talking about, there are large stocks of vehicles from General Motors in assorted dealerships around the country. Some dealerships just seem to just vie for how many cars they can stuff onto their lots. And the Ingersoll is an example. They've probably got, I don't know whether they've got 300 cars down there or not in assorted models and makes and used and new and all that kind of thing. But they have a lot of vehicles there. And I don't know who's paying for that floor planning situation. But
aren't they a big outfit?
The non-customers in the end? Somebody's
paying. I don't know when you see these deals. I mean, you are seeing now sticker prices.
Directly,
you are seeing offers at between 18 and 22% below sticker prices for many models of vehicles, multiple brands, on the TV screens on the weekends right now. It's coming to the end of the model year. We're coming down to the end of 2019, and the 2020s in some cases are arriving on a dealer's lot near you.
You know how confused I get about when is the actual and when do I get my best?
When you get
October?
Your best offer. There's a sale going on every day in a dealership somewhere near you, every day of the year.
Remember
the hoods are up, and there's S-A-L-E.
And that's, Ingers, that was one of the places where...
And a few balloons.
Yeah.
And a few balloons.
And those wavy, dually things that are just repulsive.
To that end, it's the dealers that are providing the vehicles for you to look at in their lots, not you being able to order it and wanting to wait, because either you lose the financing rate that may be in effect between ordering and getting it arriving on a truck, or something else is there to instigate your to buy the car when
I'm
they want to sell it to you.
I'm curious about the middle of the country, actually, just how that works, because it's it just seems like it's different. It just seems like it's different here. But once you move out,
the middle of the country buys Ford trucks. F-Series,
yep.
GM trucks,
yep. Dodge
and
Rams.
Ram trucks.
And where do they go?
To farmers.
No. Where do they buy them?
Oh.
Well, in other words, of course, I know who needs them. I get.
Well, the local dealership is 100 miles away, so.
So
I mean, I'm being sarcastic now, but
But I'm just saying that in terms of context and what we're talking about, it's a very where, because you're right; those are the makes and the models, but they go to wherever the dealership is.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot more loyalty. I mean, I think it's pretty; it's just common sense. If in more urban areas, the competition is a lot more fierce. And you have a lot more options.
Right.
If you are living in the southern part of Connecticut or in Westchester County, within a half an hour, 45-minute drive, you can see a lot of car dealerships.
Tons.
And a lot of the same brand cars.
Yep.
So obviously,
I just think that's worth mentioning in this entire conversation, that there are, again, you've gotten cars in Long Island. You've gotten cars in New Jersey. I don't know if you've gotten cars in Jersey, but all you have to do is drive.
Okay. I want to close this topic on the customer as well as king, but you want the customer with the reading of the following paragraph. It basically says it doesn't matter if you wanted the wagon because you don't count. You, the buyer, doesn't count.
Oh.
Traditional car companies sell only to dealers, so dealers take taste. So dealers' taste is what matters. Dealers decide what gets ordered, and they always stock cars in the colors and the specs that will be the easiest to sell.
Right.
Then they encourage the manufacturers to put incentives on those vehicles, whether that's a hot selling vehicle or not.
All of that
so
makes
there it is in a nutshell. Yeah, why it, you it, can't go
just,
and
it's still just market common driven. Business.
It's all market. Yeah.
Well, it is still market.
It's market driven to a sense because the dealers order what is easiest to sell. They think they know what is easiest to sell.
And
custom car orders are not easiest to sell because
right.
there are not as many of them out there.
So one last question: are you allowed to? Can you go in and say, "Hey, I want a blue"?
You can. And they will look to see if it's in an inventory in their northeast region or southwest region
and
or whatever.
Failing which, and do you have it built?
What they do is they trade a vehicle in their lot for the vehicle that they think the customer wants to get.
I know, because I'm
like
picky.
Like you got
but,
the silver or you got the car but without the color.
Right.
And they tried to tell you that they couldn't find your color and why didn't you want that color? That they have.
No,
for
just,
you.
They basically said they wouldn't look, but that was a whole different thing.
Okay.
What I'm trying to find out, though, is can you still go in and order the car that you want?
Sure, you can if you want to go
and
through the hassle
wait.
And you may not get a good discount price on it and all that. And
but
you're going to wait until it gets in the order line.
But the long short is you can get the car you want.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Absolutely. It can be done.
All right. What else?
Well, I've got a little bit of a rant.
Oh.
And I had a rant this morning. I'm trying to not take away from Jay because he's sort of the rant artist in this duo here.
You're the
but
provocateur.
I was coming to go for a walk this morning, and I got behind a vehicle that was going slow coming out of Sharon towards Lakeville.
You were walking?
No, I was driving. And I was in a hurry to get there, and we go to where there's a mile per hour speed change going from 35 to 50, and I was all primed to let the car ahead of me build itself up to 50 or 55 and stay behind it, but it didn't do so. So I went to pass it, and as I went to pass it, the driver of that vehicle woke up and decided that they wanted to make it difficult for me to get around it, and so they did. They accelerated. As I was passing it, they were accelerating, so I had to accelerate harder. And by the time I got past this vehicle, I was going 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. And for a while, that vehicle stayed with me as I drifted back down to 60, still 10 miles over the speed limit. And it acted as if it would have gone 60 miles an hour if I had let it get up there before I decided I wanted to pass. But then it faded back down to 50 or whatever it was doing by the time I got to the end of the stretch of road I was on. And this is something that happens quite often. Jay, I'm sure you've seen it too. You try to pass somebody and they decide they don't. Oh, you don't pass anybody. Okay, well.
Right, and then they wake up. Yeah,
and they wake up.
My favorite, though.
And they pretend that they're going to go the faster speed, and ultimately they don't do it. And it would be nice if drivers just conceded that they didn't want to go the speed. The car behind them might want to go and let them go around it and be polite about it and not put up a problem.
Says me.
Okay.
The road is not a racetrack. So
that's true.
It's not a race. If you're going to pass somebody, if you're being passed, just let that person go.
Correct.
Right?
I agree.
If you're passing, make sure you can make the pass and then just gun it. You did, you know.
Well, I knew I could make the pass because there were no cars coming the other way as far as the eye could see, even though there was a slight decline in the road over a sort of a visual hill, if not an actual hill.
You know, there's another version of that, which is people who just coming out of Lime Rock, which is 35 miles, and it goes to 45. And it's relevant only because you then come to basically Route 7, and you have to either go north or south, and you have to stop before
correct.
You do that.
Right.
I would be a zillionaire-ess if I had a dollar for everybody who decides that I'm going too slow, passes me,
and then has to come to a screeching stop.
And I end up right behind them at the stop sign, you know, primed for
so
blood.
So true.
I was like, don't be looking at my face if you are in the car in front of me, because it's just so stupid.
Well,
and that's,
Jay has a comment about that, and we'll let him comment because he's ready to go.
It's like, shouldn't you know at least your environment, or does it matter?
Drivers aren't good.
I don't think it matters. I think you... You just have to, first of all, I mean, I know I'm not always in the same mood or mode when I'm driving. There are times where I don't mind being passed.
Correct.
And there are times where, for whatever reason, I'm a little less inclined, a little more impatient. But usually when I'm more impatient, people are not going to pass me. I'm just not going to leave them.
The it's option, because you're going to be driving well, faster.
The argument against being in a hurry is that if you're going 55 miles an hour and somebody else is going 50, you're only going 5 miles further in an hour than the person going 50. And is that really a big difference?
Well, the other argument is around here, you probably shouldn't be going that fast. I'm sorry.
Well, around here, but I'm just using an example of you really don't get to a destination that much faster with a 5 miles per hour difference. I know. I learned from the best.
That's right. You arrive at your destination 12 tenths of a second or whatever you can.
But be it as it may, some of us are in the mood changes depending on what's going on. And courtesy is in short supply at some points during the course. I'm sure I'm in short supply with my courtesy.
All right, so we've
too.
Got safety tips, or was that a safety tip?
Well, it can be related to safety tips.
Yes,
I mean,
if
you have to be somewhere, you know, give yourself the time
to earlier.
Get there. Leave earlier. Even if you're going to drive at the same pace, you're just a lot more relaxed.
Definitely so.
When you're driving, and it makes for better driving, and it makes you have a better attitude towards your fellow drivers. I mean, I'll say it again and again and again.
People
I just
are
despise
laughing when they...
driving with commuters, and for some reason, they all are in a hurry to get back home. They're gonna have to do honeydew chores anyway. You wonder what's going through people's minds. But I went down to New York, for instance, yesterday, and driving. And there was a lot of traffic at some point on the Hutch and on the White.
Because this is such an odd. We're taping this on the Monday of Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day, and it's so hard to figure out who works and who doesn't.
But my point is the traffic, the behavior of people on the road was totally different.
Right.
Absolutely totally different, and I've noticed this time and time again. If you go on these busy roads between here and New York
on a Sunday when it's time to go back to the city for the weekend.
Well, then tensions start going up again. But if you go like Saturday or Sunday during the afternoon,
it depends.
Totally different. Yep. It's a lot more relaxed
True.
Than
Correct.
On a Monday afternoon or Tuesday, you know, Monday morning.
That's why they call it rush hour.
So, and speaking of attention on the road, I went down to New York yesterday, came back, and I got to within a few miles of here. And, you know, you get back and you get out of traffic. We're back on our country roads, and we start paying less attention. And what happens then? Some idiot was coming right at me, right in the middle of the road, in a long curve on Route 22. And, you know, obviously, whether that person was...
Texting,
whatever the reason.
Those are the reasons you have to keep focused.
Stop paying attention.
Right.
So you have to stay focused until you reach your destination.
No, you really do. And then you have to, somebody with their, somebody cut a power pole in half on my road. And it was so obvious because they pretty much had to be on their phone. They pretty much had to be on their phone and lose control of the vehicle, which was, you know, it doesn't take a...
Okay.
Genius to figure out.
Sticking with safety tips, the leaves have changed to yellow, reds along many of the roads. It changes the visibility of bicyclists and other people not in vehicles on the roads. And there are a lot of bicyclists out doing weekend bicycle journeys around, either through tours or just individually enjoying their bikes. And so, again, this is all about attention to the road. We can never stop talking about staying totally focused on the road, even, because it really takes 110% attention to really be sure that you do not get yourself into a jam because you didn't see something coming or didn't see something in your pathway because of camouflage leaves or whatever else. And there are a surprising number of people are not wearing very high visibility clothing in walking and or biking around here.
Same with cars.
Cars,
you know, we're running out of daylight earlier in the day now, right?
Turn your lights on.
And the daytime running lights do not do it.
That's
and a lot
correct.
Of people think that the daytime running lights are bright enough to...
Well, they don't help your rear lights, put it this
They
way.
Don't help your rear lights because they are not on. That's a very good point.
I noticed that Fords and Toyotas, for some reason, don't automatically have daytime running lights. So if you have a Ford or you have a Toyota, you know, try to figure out how to turn your daytime running lights on. Go out of the car and make sure they're on, because they are really a safety issue.
And also, but also make sure when it's dusk you get your lights on, so that the rear lights are illuminated as well, because, boy, you cannot see some of these dark gray cars in dusk coming at you or going in front of you. And that's about it.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarco. This is Car Keys.